things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's week 8, and the Packers once again fall flat and lose to the Vikings at home, 10-24. That's puts us at 2-5 for the season.
Mm-hmm. And ugly game all around.
Yeah, it was.
This is the fifth game in a row now that we have not scored a touchdown in the first half at all. Last time that happened to the Packers was 1988.
Wow. Wow, that's getting back into, I don't know if I was there. Well, when I was doing radio in the Fox Valley, and we would do the Packer players and stuff like that. That's why we used to get them to go to the remote broadcast, because they weren't very good. So they're like, yeah, I'll take some more money.
But there you go.
1988, that is crazy.
It's been a while. Been a while. Yeah, you know, so we're 2-5. 1-2 at home. Losing record at Lambeau. You don't see that much.
That's exactly where I was going. The home field advantage of playing at Lambeau sure doesn't seem like it is right now. But I was thinking about that, and it's been kind of going away for a while. Where it used to be, you know, you never wanted playing Lambeau in December or January. Mm-hmm. But that kind of faded away as other teams got better, and we kind of fell down a little bit.
Yeah, we also kind of changed our play style. You used to not want to go against the bruising Packers in December on the frozen tundra. We haven't been a bruising run the ball team for decades now.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, that's
if anything, our offensive way of playing kind of falls apart with bad weather.
That's a good point. Yeah. Again, another game where we come out flat.
I mean, I think at this point we have to kind of just look at the season for what it is. We kind of looked at that Denver game as like a marker of, will we have, you know, a shot at like a wild card run, something fun this season.
Mm-hmm.
After that loss and now this one, and how bad the offense looked and kind of just lackluster all around, I think we have to kind of call it on the season at this point and say we need to evaluate what we have and what we need to move forward.
On all facets. I mean, from the top down, I think that's what you need to do. Excuse me. Say, before we get too far in the weeds, congratulations goes to Rashawn Gary. He signed a 4-year, $107 million contract extension with the Packers. They announced it on Monday. Yesterday, we're recording on Tuesday. He was a 2019 first-round pick, and he was playing on his fifth-year option of his rookie contract. So his new deal includes $95 million in new money. Yeah, you should get by, including $35 million signing bonus. Excuse me. And total value of the deal, which runs through 2027, could be, which it won't be, with all bonuses, almost $108 million. So not bad.
Not too bad. Hey, we need to keep him. He's one of our best players, and pass rushers are gold nowadays. You do not want to lose a star pass rusher.
Yeah,
and Quay Walker. If we could build our whole defense out of Rashawn Gary and Quay Walker clones, we'd be unstoppable.
I'm just going to mention that in 63 career games, Gary has 27 sacks. So.
27.
And he's been injured.
Yep. None in this game, but we had 2 for Preston Smith and 1 for Kenny Clark. In a game that did not see Kirk Cousins stay until the end, and it looks like with a torn Achilles, his season is probably over. Horrible news if you're a Vikings fan. You were finally seeing the team turn it around, start to look exciting, figure they're their stuff out, and you lose Kirk.
Yeah, it's just kind of like being a Jets fan, I think.
Yeah, you know. A week after he got rid of the primetime curse, winning on Monday night.
That's right.
Maybe he is still cursed.
And I don't care. You know, I'm not, obviously, I'm a Packer fan, not a Vikings fan, but I hate to see anybody get hurt. It'll be interesting to see, because this is his last year on his contract. He's not under contract for 2024. And they might try to band-aid it as much as they can and then possibly bring him back next year. I mean, he really kind of hurt his chances of getting a big contract somewhere. Because, you know, he's hurt. You got to wait and see.
I would guess it's probably his last game as a Viking. I mean, do you remember a year ago and change now when I said that Rodgers would go to the Jets? And you thought I was nuts.
John, you bring it up quite often.
Yes. And then I said he will find his way to the Vikings. Well, guess who needs a quarterback? All of a sudden. So,
the Packers.
I don't know. 2024, we could see the 2009, like, reboot. They love doing reboots in Hollywood. We're doing one in the NFL script writing with Rodgers going to Jets and then Pack. And then he can, where is he from, California? Scam the California welfare system to fully round it up.
Boy, are you going down a rabbit hole. Gosh.
All
right. Yeah, well, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what becomes of it. Now the Lions are by far the most, the team expected to win the NFC North by far. You lose your starting quarterback for the Vikings, and the Packers playing the way they're playing. So, yeah. The Bears playing the way they
play. Do you feel like... Do you feel like LaFleur is trying to lose? Are we throwing it? Are we one of these teams throwing it for a draft pick and we just haven't realized?
I don't think so. I don't think that's what you want to do with your brand new quarterback, is play it to lose.
Yeah. Well, what if I told you our biggest weapon on offense, Aaron Jones, who stud, makes plays, can really support a young quarterback, hasn't had at least 10 touches yet in a game.
I know.
And I know we talked about it being a broken record, but the post-halftime mini interview with LaFleur, and it's, again, why is Aaron Jones not getting the ball? Oh, I don't know. We have to make sure we get him the ball, or I have to go back and look at the tape. I don't know what it is. It is criminal at this point if you are trying to win a football game that you are not giving Aaron Jones the ball.
Well, is it the offensive line?
I don't know. Because he's still averaging over 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Which, even with a bad offensive line, isn't horrible. You run it 3 times, averaging 4 yards, you have a first down.
Yeah.
I know that's not how it works, but it just feels insane that he has, through what week are we on now? Going into week 9?
Yeah.
He has 29 carries. I know there was some injuries there, but he still has at least 4 full games, 123 total yards on the year.
Yeah, it used to be that was not unheard of to have a one game. 29.
That would be one game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something about Aaron Jones we don't know about, but overall, LaFleur's decision-making, we've always talked about what seemed like a lack of ability of getting the team motivated and that energy up for the game. I don't know. This is really making me question a lot of his scheming, inability to work with a young team, a young quarterback, and adapt to what the defense on the opposing team is bringing each week, because I don't know. It just keeps looking uglier and uglier, and we are not doing anything different.
That's the thing. I'm not seeing anything, any changes. Love completed just 5. Let me back up. He really continues to make some bad decisions. And I mean, simple stuff like you're 3rd and 16 and you run the ball, or, you know, just stuff that you, not to get you the first down. He led the Packers to,
it was, we all know, 4th and 16.
Hmm?
4th and 16.
Oh, okay, great.
There's no second chance after that one. You gotta
That's
have
right.
It.
So we start out 2-1 with our new quarterback. Love has 7 touchdowns and just one interception through the 3 games. And now the losing streak, 3 of the teams the Packers have lost during our 4-game streak came into the game with a losing record. I mean, it's not like we just can't beat these tough teams. We can't beat anybody.
I know last week I heard that we have had the 5th easiest schedule in the league so far.
That's amazing. That speaks volumes, but
yeah, it's just ugly. I mean, points that we score were by far the lowest in the division. I'm not sure how that applies to the rest of the NFC. We've only scored 140 points this year, allowed 156. We've also allowed the least points in the division. Scored the least, but allowed the least.
Hmm. Well, in their past 5 games, the Packers have been outscored in the first halves. You want to take a guess by how much?
Like the point differential?
Yeah.
Say 64.
2.
No, like 64 point differential between us and the opponents.
Ah, that's pretty close.
Is it?
73-9.
73-9, so 64, right?
Yeah, that's why I said that's pretty close.
No. Hey, I did it. Jenny, my sister, your daughter, always said I was weirdly good at guessing.
Let's see. Oh, this is something going back to LaFleur and the play calling. I don't know how many of these passes are just by Love's decision or what, but he's completed just 5 of 16 passes on throws that travel 10 or more yards downfield. 5 of 16. And that includes the interception. He has thrown 8 interceptions this season, with all of them coming on throws that are 10 or more yards. That's the most of the NFL. He ranks 31st in the league in completion rate at 36% in throws that are 10 or more yards.
Well, that's something. He was 32nd last week. No, hey, not at the bottom. But the thing is, he does, even though he has struggled to throw it deep, he throws it deep a lot.
Too much. Too much.
Especially at the end of the game. That whole fourth quarter was like, they just took the reins off. Like, yeah, go sling it around. It didn't work out. But
and then we get the
fun plays to watch.
A return? What did we get? Or interception? And we ran it back to like the Vikings 20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can't score.
Yep.
And then we get a fumble shortly right
almost
after
in the
that.
Red zone again. Yeah.
And we can't score.
Didn't even really seem like we were close.
Uh-huh.
Like, it didn't feel like we were threatening to score much at all, even in those. Uh-huh. Like, that's the huge difference, I would say, with this offense compared to last year with Rodgers or the previous years with Rodgers. Like, the best players, it feels like there's just kind of an inevitability. Oof, I struggled a bit with that. So with my nose stuffed up, that one's hard to say. But it does seem like there's an inevitability to like Rodgers scoring a touchdown, Brady scoring a touchdown at any time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much time is on the clock, how many yards they have to go. There's always that feeling it's going to happen. You do not feel that with the Packers offense at the moment.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. I just feel that I wonder, like, in the play calling, if it's just a lack of options for the play calling, like if there's just stuff,
you think it's
that
a really small playbook.
I'm thinking that it could be toned down quite a bit. It surprised me if it was, because he's been with us for 3 years learning. It's not like he just came off the street.
Mm-hmm.
But I you know, those long passes, I don't get it.
Well, then they always talk about he has a cannon for an arm, but it feels like most of the long deep throws are underthrown.
Yes.
So is that an accuracy issue, or can he not get the ball there? You know,
I don't know. I think you talked last week about the mechanics and stuff. So you know, you can tell it must be quite the roller coaster ride. Starting out the year 2-1, you start out the year beating the Bears, feeling good. People are talking, there's nothing going to slow the Packers down this year. And then all of a sudden, literally, wind goes out of the sails.
Yeah. It turns out when we're not playing the Bears, we don't look great.
Well, part of it, too, is I worried about the tape. You know, you get enough tape on the team, you can scheme against them. And as soon as it starts working, everybody's going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, it's if you want to play the Packers, you can just run the ball whenever, wherever you want, because they will not stop it and they will not adjust to try to stop it.
And you'll be able to have a good chance of getting some quarterback hits and sacks because they're going to be third and long most of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. We are really bad at setting ourselves up for success. Even like a 2nd and 5 would be great. You know, I had a friend over for the game and he was laughing at how much I was cheering for every little first down.
I know.
Like, this is an achievement.
Well, since misery loves company, I thought that love would like some. 11 penalties for 99 yards in this game. That is the most in Matt LaFleur's 5 seasons as coach. That's just horrendous. We also had dropped passes, and I told you about the scoring deficit in the first half. It's just, I don't know how you're supposed to get things turned around if you don't fix those things.
How do you feel about LaFleur's comfort level? Is his seat getting a little hot, do you feel like? Or has he bought enough good faith that this year could just be a dumpster fire and he stays?
I don't see them making any change at all.
No?
Maybe in coordinators or something, but not in LaFleur. No. He at least gets a 1 year, I would guess probably 2.
Post Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. If Joe Barry keeps his job, I'm going to apply because it's insane. They must have no one. No one wants it.
Hey, Cousins, Vikings quarterback, was certainly on fire, though. Man, he was playing very good, very much like he did on Monday night. He completed 12 of 13 passes for 139 yards and a touchdown on third downs.
Yeah, no, he was clutch. Every time they needed him, he was stepping up, great throws, finding open receivers that weren't all the way open, but throwing them open. He was looking really good, which it's hard to feel bad for Viking fans as Packer fans who live in Minnesota and have to take their crap all the time. But man, that has to be a bummer. You finally see this guy who you've been defending as. No, he is an elite quarterback. He is one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and he's finally starting to show it, and now he's out for the season. Might be out of Minnesota for good.
Yeah, let's see. Vikings converted 10 of 18 third downs plus their lone fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, man. Want some good news?
I got some good news. You want to start?
Sure. Romeo Doubs. He leads the league in red zone targets. He has 10 targets in 7 games, and the next closest person has 8. And that makes sense when you look at all those bombs throw it to him in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So my silver lining is very related, or good news, whatever you want to call it, is the big plays from Jaden Reed, our other receiver, the rookie. He's had some big plays with Jordan Love, even though Jordan's struggling on the long throws, things like that. He kind of messed up on that play with Jordan Love's interception that turned the game around. But he had 2 catches of 30 or more yards. He had the lone big catch on our touchdown drive, our only touchdown drive of the game. And he's the one that got us into Vikings territory on our final possession with a 34-yard big catch. He's averaged 13.8 yards per target on the year. So rookie's really been stepping up in an offense that's been struggling. That's not always easy to do.
No, no, not at all. So I thanks for that. That's good to hear. Did you see that, like, the last thing that LaFleur said after his presser after the game?
Mm-mm.
He said, everyone's is feeling it. It's just like, you know, we're a mess right now.
I'd say that's a fair assessment.
That's pretty much there.
I saw that Rasul Douglas has been kind of holding court at his locker after these losses. All the defense kind of crowds around his locker as they discuss what went wrong. I wonder if the offense is doing that in any way. Because they're you know, it wasn't the best game all around by the team, but the defense had some pretty good moments in this one, especially our run defense. Like, they're a good running team in the Vikings, and we held Alexander Mattison and Cam Akers to just 50 rushing yards on 25 carries. So held them to 2 yards a carry. Not bad.
No, not bad at all. All right, man. Anything else?
I mean, nothing else for silver linings. We've talked about a lot of it. Like, our passing game is just in disarray at the moment. It doesn't feel like anyone has a clue what's going on when they're on the field. Can't really figure it out. We do not feel like a threat in the red zone, which in that first game, you know, we've talked about the game against the Bears in the first week. It felt like, okay, we're scoring in the red zone. We're finally turning that around. We've struggled with that. But it's gotten worse every week. Like, we had a have to have a play at, like, the 8 yard line on fourth down. And we threw a back shoulder throw to, I think it was Watson, where he had to, like, leap up over the defender, try to catch it. It's like,
yeah.
Yes, those are very pretty when they work. They're very hard to defend when they work. But that, especially if you don't have an elite caliber quarterback, that is a very low percentage play. Mm-hmm. So on our have to have it plays, why do we keep running these low percentage plays?
Well, I'd love to know that. Come on, man. Yeah, that's the question. But why do we have, I know a lot of it's going in because you get behind, but we had 17 running plays to their 31. It's man. Again, well, we got to look into it. We have to look into that.
I mean, we talked about the penalties. You said there's 11 penalties. 8 of those were in the first half, which was, a decades old record for us again. So that was nice to see. you talked about Kirk Cousins being very clutch in the third downs. You read his stat line on third down. Uh-huh. They converted 11 third or fourth downs in the game. 8 of them were 8 or more yards. How much of that is Kirk Cousins, and how much of that do you think is our defense not able to capitalize in the big moments?
Oh, man, I don't know. I do know that he's looking very good and sharp. The team offense as a whole looked pretty darn sharp. Hard for me to be able to make that kind of a judgment. Now, if I want to be like one of those knee-jerk type reactions, oh, yeah, it's a defense. It's our defense. They let them run all over us. But I just can't make that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to be on our defense, or at least on the play calling on defense, not adjusting in those situations. Because, like, I was going to say a little bit ago, like, we did hold them to 24 points, which against a good offense isn't horrible. But we didn't really, because they had 2 missed field goals. One of them, a easy one that they should have made.
Yeah.
And they
wide
lost
right.
Yeah. Wide right. And they lost Kirk Cousins in the middle of the game to injury.
Well, it wasn't the middle of the game. It was
not middle, but
quarter.
Fourth quarter. But still, I'm saying, like, they could have scored more. They should have scored 30 with those field goals. So we did not have a great game overall. Special teams looked adequate, would you say?
Yeah, I guess.
You guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. I don't know. I don't have a ton more to say on the game. I feel like we've done this the last few weeks where we kind of fizzle out on what to talk about the game, but that's because in these ugly losses, unless we want to just be overly negative, there's not too much we can dig into.
No, and then you're just repeating ourselves every week if we just go on and on and on and on and on, which we do enough of that anyways. you're going to when they're playing the same way. We're going to see the same issues. But you got a game ball?
I do got a game ball.
Okay. I'm ready. And now it's time for the game ball.
This week's game ball goes to Preston Smith, outside linebacker for the Green and Gold. He had 2 sacks on the day, broke up a pass in the end zone intended for TJ Hockenson. One of his sacks against Kirk Cousins set up a blocked field goal attempt. He strip-sacked rookie Jaren Hall later in the game to give us a chance to get back into the game and stopped KJ Osborne short of the sticks on third down, forcing a punt. He was a one-man wrecking crew in the defense this game.
One-man wrecking crew. Congratulations.
In a game that needed some highlights for the Packers, he was one of them.
That's true. Yeah, it was one of those where, you know, for so long in the game, it was like, you know, if we can just turn it around, you know, just score some points here. And, you know, in the second quarter, it was 10-3. It went into the half at 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back and score 2 touchdowns. And, you know, we couldn't score more than 1 touchdown in the second half. We didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. So there were moments you kind of had a little glimpse of some hope.
But once again, that glimpse of hope only lasts for the third quarter. We have only seen good offense or glimpses of it in the third quarters of these games.
That is the truth, man. That is.
We need like a hypnotist on the sideline convincing Love constantly that he's in the third quarter. I think outside the box in this type of season.
We said that about Kirk Cousins. He had to get a hypnotist to tell him that's just a Sunday noon game. There's nothing else. It's just a Sunday noon.
I think he made like a deal with a genie. You know, like in like fairy tales or whatever, they mm-hmm. make a wish and it kind of comes back to bite them. Like the wording kind of comes back to bite them. I think he asked to, you know, like get over his primetime game curse. And they're like, yeah, we can do that. But it came with the Achilles.
Yep. I see where you're going with that. All right, you want to talk picks?
Sure. Should we talk football?
Yeah.
Let's talk football. All right. So I'll go over what we had for picks. You can sweep up after. Bucks at Bills, we both took Bills. And we went into last week with you up by 2. We both took Bills. The Bills won it. Vikings at Packers. I took the Vikings. You took the Packers. We know how that ended. Bears at Chargers, we both took the Chargers who won, and we both knew the Lions would beat the Raiders, which they did, meaning Mike is up by 1 going into week 9 for the picks.
That's because you picked against the Packers.
I know it does not feel good. It is like ashes in my mouth, but when you win a season-long pick'em contest, I can tell you, ashes don't taste so bad. So I'm coming for that victory. It's been it feels like a handful of years since I won it.
Oh, it's been a good 20.
A good 20, yeah. In our 9th season of the podcast.
Okay, so games highlighting the Rams, who we play next, losing to the Cowboys in Dallas 20-43. Dallas has got like an 11 game home winning streak going on.
They're a solid team. They've had one bad looking game this season, but other than that, they've looked very solid.
Dolphins over the Patriots. They look very unpatriotic. not doing very good. I didn't see the end of that Jets game over the Giants, but I heard it was quite the ending of the game.
I heard at one point with like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter that the who are they playing? The Giants had like a 99.8% chance to win the game. And somehow, like every fluke of a like circumstance, every series of events where things had to fall into place, fell into place for the Jets to win the game. Even I heard a clip of the home radio announcer after the game. He was like, and with that, the Jets win it. I have no idea how, but they win it.
You sound like the it was the old radio announcer for the New York Yankees. I'm batting for the New York Yankees. One game that's, I didn't expect the Commanders to play so tough against the Eagles, but the Eagles still won 38-31. And I think that's about it. Oh, I was, how about what the about, Broncos beating up the Chiefs? Holy cow. That was a surprise.
I didn't see the game, but I heard they just demolished them. Like no chance for Patrick Mahomes to do anything. Maybe, shoot, I'm blanking on his name, the head coach in Denver there.
Sean Payton?
Yeah, maybe Sean Payton's pride got hurt a little bit. So he came out with all the tricks.
Never know.
Big one that you didn't mention is Bengals 31 over the 49ers 17.
Yeah,
49ers started out the year as world beaters at 5-0, and they now have lost three straight.
Yeah, that's who was it that who beat them? Was it last week or the week before that really put them down in the spiral? I think it was like
who beat them? They lost to the Bengals this week, the Vikings last week, and the Browns the week before.
Okay, it just seems like they just kind of going down, down.
Exactly.
All right, that's it. That's all I got for this week's games. Now we got our picks for
Last thing I want to mention. Have you seen, so the Lions, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 31st. Happy Halloween, everyone. Last night, the Lions beat the Raiders 26-14. Did you see the clips of Davante Adams on the sideline?
I did not, no.
He is not happy.
Really?
Every week, we've heard about Davante Adams not being happy on the Raiders ever since they traded Derek Carr. And Garoppolo's the current Raiders quarterback, missed Adams on two just wide open, like 80-yard touchdowns, where Adams got wide open, bombed it to him, no one around, and just missed him so much that Adams couldn't get the ball. And Adams was on the sideline, slamming his helmet on the bench and screaming like into his hands. It's like
not
happy,
tough, man.
Not and happy.
It's been quite the turn for him since he left.
It is. I'm going to be honest. I haven't really known how to feel about Davante Adams ever since he shoved that microphone person.
Right.
Because it kind of like changed your perspective of like, you know, him.
Well, it didn't help. I understand the frustration and stuff like that, but I mean, come on, you're not Quay Walker, man. You don't get to push people around like that.
Exactly.
Okay, you ready to do our picks?
I'm ready. We are picking with Mike up by one, and we have 7 games to pick this week. Kind of a slow week last week, but back to 7 games. We are starting with Thursday night football. Titans travel to what is it now? Akershire Stadium for the Steelers. I think it's Akershire. It really rolls off the tongue, you know?
It does. It flows.
Yeah.
Titans at Steelers. I'll go with the Titans.
Going with the Titans. All right. It's a tough one. They're both.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of
both very middle of the road. Yeah. I'll go Steelers on that one. I think Steelers find a way to win a lot of these ugly games, even without playing well. So hopefully at, their beloved Akershire they can pull it out. Dolphins go to the Chiefs Sunday morning in London. Is it London? It's overseas.
It's in Frankfurt.
Oh, at Deutsche Bank Park. Deutsche.
That's what you do if you poke the nose of a German dog. They go Deutsch.
I'm actually predicting a tie in this one. I think it's going to be 9-9.
Wow, you're picking a tie?
Did you hear the score? 9-9.
Sean.
Well, you didn't react at all. I was like,
I'm thinking about what I'm picking. I'm picking the Chiefs.
Okay. I think I'll pick the Dolphins. Dolphins.
It really depends on if the Chiefs can. Dolphins don't have a very good defense, so the Chiefs, I'm thinking, can get their offense going.
We have to see if they're done licking their wounds after losing to the Broncos, because we know how much that hurts. Vikings at Falcons. Vikings at Falcons, a noon game, Central Time.
You want to pick it?
I'm going Vikes, even after the loss, I think. Vikings are still going to manage it. After losing Kirk, I mean.
I'm going to go with the Falcons.
All right. And then we have Bears at Saints. Bears traveling to the Saints, another noon Central Time game. I'm going Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them as well.
All right. Our first game, we differ. And then we have Bills at Bengals. We'll come back for the noon Packers game. We have Bills at Bengals Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, you kind of got to ride that wave. It looks like they're really heating up. Bills are kind of hit and miss this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the Bengals offense looked deadly against the Niners. I watched that game.
Burrows is finally playing healthy.
Yeah, he's back, I think. I think he's finally back, it seems. Chargers at Jets, Monday Night Football. Chargers at Jets. Who knows what to expect from either of these teams?
I'll go with the Chargers.
All right, I'll go with the Jets. At Jet Life Stadium. All right, and then we roll back around to finish it up with the Rams at the Packers, noon Central.
Well, I'm going to pick the Packers. I think Goff has got a thumb injury or something. And so hopefully that will help and we can score a couple of touchdowns in the first half. You know, a lot of it too is, when we look at the defense, we have to be looking at the defense of the first half, defense of the second half, because defense in the second half has been on the field a lot by that point.
And
so I just threw that out there, but kind of a sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
And you, sir, what do you pick?
I don't know. I really want to take the Packers. But I think my head's saying Rams. My heart says Packers. My head says Rams. I'm going to go Rams.
Okay. Traitor.
I know. Right. I know. It's a sad time to be a Packer fan. But that is our picks out of 7. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that we differ on. So you are up by 1. But we have a lot of action coming up this week on the Pick'em.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Any final thoughts on where the Packers stand after 8 weeks, 7 games?
Confused.
Confused. The Packers or you?
The Packers and me.
Packers and you. There you go.
I knew it was going to be, you know, a tough year, but I just didn't see us being this bad.
I predicted 6-10. And I think to get to 6-10, we'd kind of have to improve on some things.
We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You feel good to wrap this one up?
Yeah, I'll take it on.
Feeling good? All right.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Remember to try and join us in the Facebook group. Tell all your friends, tell your enemies, but just tell somebody. Until next week, go Pack. Go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!